Hi, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm broadcasting to you from the far north, spectacular Fairbanks, Alaska, where the temperatures, if you would believe this, are warm enough to be, let's say, I think, in the 70s. Hard to believe in the far north. We've got a wonderful afternoon program for you. But before we go there, I want to be sure that we give out our toll-free telephone numbers, because if you or a friend would like to call in later on in the hour, those lines are going to be open and available for you. Here they are, 877-876-5227, and that's for those of you in the U.S. If you want to call in from Canada, 888-810-8322 is the telephone number to call in on. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-9146, so write them down and then just keep them handy for later on in the hour. 7 minutes. Small steps to big changes. Do you think you could devote 7 minutes of your day to improving your life? Well, we're going to talk with a lady, Allison Lewis, who's got some wonderful, wonderful things to share with us today. Allison, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Donna. How are you?
Well, I am doing just absolutely wonderful. You know, Allison, 7 minutes, that is almost too hard to believe. Do you really, really think that 7 minutes can make a difference? And before we get there, I want people to know a little bit about you. You are a coach, and you have been involved with major corporations, and your business in 2004 grew more than 67%. Now, most people hearing that would say, yeah, right, okay. Look, Allison, get real. 7 minutes. Tell us what motivated you to improve your business that much, and how did the 7 minutes positioning come in?
Well, can I give you a little background first?
Oh, please do.
Well, in August of 2001, I had a friend say three words to me that changed my life forever. She walked up to me, and she said, I've got cancer.
Oh, dear.
And those three words, I tell you, when a friend of yours who, you know, I'm middle-aged, I'm 46 years old, she was 44 at the time, and so I would have been 41 at the time. When someone stops you and looks you in the face and says, I've got cancer, I've just been told I've got 6 months to live, what that did for me is it made me look at my life and say, am I doing the job I want to do? Am I really, really in the game? Am I focused on the things that I value? And am I wanting to go more in life? And the answer to all of those questions were no. You know, truthfully, I was 11 pounds overweight. I was completely out of shape. I was not focused at work. I was not productive at work like I should be. And I wanted to be different. So the key theme of the book, The 7-Minute Difference, is that change happens in an instant. It literally happens the moment you decide to change. And so that's what I hope we can spend some time talking about. And, yes, I believe it doesn't have to happen in 7 minutes. I think it can happen in less than 7 seconds. So we'll go from there.
All right. So here we are with what you have said about yourself and your life, a friend making such an impact on your thinking. What was the next step after you went through this evaluation? Where would you go with someone when they say, well, that's easy enough for you to say. I haven't had something like that affect me. How can I do this? What can I do?
Well, they're very serious steps, and you have to realize that the 7-minute difference comes from the fact that psychologists tell us that the average human has a 7-minute attention span. And I really think I may have a 2-minute attention span. So if I want my job to be happier, my marriage to be richer, my life to be more complete, then I have to do things and things that I can focus on in as little as 7 minutes at a time. So there were five words that I decided to focus on in 2003. My friend told me she had cancer in 2001. It took me 2 years to really come to grips with what I wanted to do. And in 2003, during a team meeting, down five words at the top of a yellow legal pad. This is a 7-minute exercise. Any of your listeners could do this. So are you ready for the five words that really did begin the journey that changed my life?
Yes, let's go for it.
Okay, here are the five words. At the top of his yellow legal pad or any sheet of paper, write these words, my purpose in life is. And then I literally set a kitchen timer for 15 minutes, and I began to write. Now, the first few things that came out of my mind were the fact that I had to do laundry, I've got two kids, I needed to get them to soccer practice and a basketball practice, and what groceries I needed to buy. But when the kitchen timer hit 7 minutes, it was cards. It came to me that my purpose in life was about growing. And it was helping other people understand how they could grow and how they could be different, how they could mature, how they could love life more. And once I understood my purpose, then that began to be the real catapult that put our life first and began to really push us forward. So my first encouragement to people, and I think they can do it in 7, 10, maybe 15 minutes, is find out in writing what their purpose in life is. Look at their passions. What do they already love? I mean, I can tell just from talking to you, you know, what an amazing purpose you have in life and how that guides you and drives you. But I was 43 years old before I even knew why I had been placed on this earth. And I think a lot of your listeners would be in the same boat I am. We don't know why we're here. We don't know how to really focus on using our gifts and talents, and therefore we don't utilize them like we should.
I would agree with you. I am someone that interacts with a lot of people, and that is often a part. In fact, I was just talking with someone today who was expressing that very, very deeply, and they are at an impasse because, in a sense, their life, they're going around like a robot, and they go, I just don't understand this. And you know what I find so fascinating, Allison? This happens with someone as young as a teenager and people that are in their 60s and 70s, and all the gauntlet, all the run in between. What you're talking about.
I think you're completely right. You know, I wrote the book, The 7-Minute Difference, as a business inspiration book. It's meant to be a book of hope and inspiration. It's meant to be a book that can help people get their life in order, to help them reprioritize their goals and to understand their passions and put their feet back in the race. But what's happened is that this book has been embraced by literally thousands of people whose lives are now being changed because they began to find meaning again. You know, I've had people read, especially my favorite chapter, which is chapter 7, which is titled Life-Changing Decisions, Life-Changing Actions, where you actually quit talking about making your life different and you start taking actions towards making your life different. And they said, my wife and I sat down and read this to each other because we wanted our marriage to be stronger. So this isn't just about business. This is for all your listeners out there who are just like me. They're 11 pounds overweight, out of shape. Their desk at the office looks like a whirlwind went through it, and they just lost that meaning in life. People want to get that back. They want their heart to pound, their palms to sweat, and they want to feel like they have a purpose to fulfill here on earth.
Something too, Allison. You've pushed a button of mine. The purpose is not just, so many times people will hear this, and they'll say, oh my goodness, here we go again. You're just talking about a purpose. Purpose is not just finding what you've got inside yourself, but being able to have integrity with yourself and also shine that integrity upon everybody and anybody you meet. And when you can be in that place, I think not only are you changing your life, but it is just rippling out in such a fluid, with such a fluidity and speed that other people walk around and eventually they're going to come and tap you. How do you do that?
Well, I think you're exactly right. You know, I've been a business coach and consultant for a long time. And in the 80s and 90s, you know, we were all teaching vision statements. Well, a vision is what you see for your life. A vision is where you see yourself in 5 years or 10 years. The great part about purpose is not what we do for ourselves. Purpose is how we serve the world around us. Purpose is how we use our gifts and talents that we've been given, that we love to use, and how we make the world a better place. It's not at all about making our lives a better place. Making our lives a better place is just an end result of giving ourselves to the world around us. So it was very eye-opening when I found out that the more I serve the people I love and the people I come in contact with, the better my life gets.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. And what I think is so important that when you're able to get to that point, and I'll share something with you. There was an experience of mine just in the past few days in interacting with someone. We were going through very much what like you are describing in your book, asking questions of ourselves. And I asked this individual a particular question that they had asked of me, and I had had a response. And the words that came out of their mouth was so interesting. It was, I'm almost terrified to really go into that part of myself. I've been so unwilling to make a shift. And it was amazing, just by them saying that, to admit that they were afraid of the tremendous depth and capability and talent that they had within themselves.
Mm.
It was just, it was so liberating to be able to share that with someone, because they have so much passion within their very expression as an individual, that to be able to get past that, to be able to say it's okay to go into it, they'd gotten stuck in a patterning of thinking they had to be a martyr. You know, if you were going to serve someone, whenever they heard the word service, it meant you were going to lay yourself down like a cloak over a mud puddle, and everybody's going to walk over you, and boy, that's really good. Well, they didn't like that, and they were having a problem with that.
Because I don't know you, I would love to know what you view your purpose in life as, because obviously it's been incredibly effective, and I would love for you to share that if you could.
My purpose, especially through this radio show, is to be able, one, to interact with people like you, two, to be able to share that knowledge with other people and to have conversation just like we're having. So no matter who's listening, no matter who's interacting, they realize that they are just as significant in the whole picture of life as what they may perceive us as being, because we're considered by many of our listeners as being experts. Boy, we should know it all. And aren't we lucky? Isn't it fortunate? Gee, I could never be there. What they need to know and understand, and what I just feel is such a joy with this business, and even the people that I'm working with that on BBS Radio have the same purpose, is to empower whoever comes in to our airwave environment with the understanding that there's so much richness in life to be enjoyed, and that there is that inside of each and every individual, however it may demonstrate itself, that is going to be used and needed. We need every single bit of the quality of character, integrity, purpose that every individual has in this world.
Wow, I should make you co-author of my next book.
Hey, I'll share a platform with you. Give me a call. Let's talk.
Let's talk. You know, but listen, can you hear the excitement? I'm talking to the listeners now. Can you hear the excitement in Donna's voice when she begins to talk about how she touches the world? It's not about Donna. It's how about Donna gives her skills and talents to the world around her and makes the world a better place. That's what the 7-minute difference is about. And I do hope your listeners will go to any Barnes & Nobles or Borders or Books A Million or whatever Amazon is around there and pick up a copy of the 7-minute difference, because there are hundreds of ideas. And this book is tiny. It's 214 pages. It's a 5x7 book. It'll fit in your pocketbook. You can read it in about 3 hours. And it's filled with about 100 ideas that can touch your heart, soul, and change your life. I really believe change happens in an instant, because it happened to me. Now, like I said, we uncovered our purpose in 2003. That was the first 7-minute thing that we did. The second 7-minute thing that we did as a team at my office is we took another piece of paper out and we began to write down short-term and long-term goals. I had to write down as one of my goals that I was going to lose the weight. I had to write down that I will be in shape. I had to write down that I will leave on time so I can spend time with my family. And I had to write down all these things, that I would get rid of clutter, that I would clean out my desk. And little by little, after writing those things down, they came true. It was an amazing thing. So we did all those things in 2003. We basically got our house in order by taking little bits of time. 2004, our business exploded, growing 67% in 1 year, because we knew our purpose, we had our short-term and long-term goals, we reignited our own passions, and we were ready to grab the world by the tail. That's what the 7-minute difference is about. And your listeners can download the introduction and the first chapter at our website. The same name as the book, The 7-Minute Difference. So we hope they'll visit us there.
Absolutely. So let's repeat that, and we'll repeat it again before we're through today. The 7-Minute Difference. Now, is it the number 7 or the word 7-Minute
It's all difference? Spelled out, the7minutedifference.com.
The7minutedifference.com. That's the website.
If they were just to Google 7 minutes, they would find us.
Oh, fabulous. Now, you brought up something that brings certain experiences that I've had in my life. Writing down goals, writing down objectives. Now, a lot of people do that. But it doesn't happen. You have to take action with those priorities that you're stating, whatever that priority might be for the individual. So how did you follow through? What did you do with action? You said it was little by little, but action has to follow thought. If it doesn't, nothing happens.
Well, I think you're right. And, you know, there's some interesting statistics. As an author, I've been reading a lot of things, and people go out and they do buy books just like mine, and the average reader will only read the first 18 pages. So basically, a lot of people go out and buy books like business inspirational books like The 7-Minute Difference, and they put them by their bedside, and just the fact that they bought them makes them feel better, just like me wanting to lose 11 pounds but not doing it. So if someone does buy the book, only read the 7th chapter, the last chapter. It's only about 20 pages. If they're going to read 18 pages, read the last 18 pages of the book. Because it talks about life-changing decisions, life-changing actions. There comes a point in time where, and I hope it's today for your listeners, where you just draw a line in the sand. I want you to imagine a path that's laid out in front of you, because we're all on some kind of path in life, but you know what? We can make decisions to change that path. So imagine that new path is where you want your marriage to be, your job to be, your knowledge to be, your personal health and fitness, your nutrition. Imagine that wonderful path ahead of you. And imagine that today there's a line in the sand, and all you have to do is take the first step onto this new path. That's the 7-minute difference. It's the first step. It's one step, one tiny little step. Because once you're on the path, if you're really committed, the path will guide you. I mean, it's that simple. And so all that I had to do, and of course, fortunately for me, it took a friend saying I've got cancer, and it made me realize that, hey, I'm middle-aged. I don't want to stay on the old path. I want a new path. So if change really does happen in an instant, it happens the moment we decide to take action. We can't just talk about it anymore. And the way that I did that, my team member at my office is named Susan Naylor. Susan and I both wrote down our goals. We shared those goals. And here's the key. We became accountable to one another.
I like that.
And so that's one of the real keys, is whether it's your spouse or if it's a business venture that you're working on, you've got to tell somebody what you're going to do, and you got to go through those weekly with someone, if not daily.
That, I think, is a powerful ace. When you have an ally that you can sit down, be very clear with, and say, this is it, and then there's that support. And I think it's very important when you have that ally. You don't want someone that's going to sit there and say, well, aren't you stupid? You didn't get this done by Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's not the kind of supportability we want in that sense. That's not what you want. You want someone that's going to listen, because life happens, things interfere, emergencies can occur, and so we have to adapt. But it's helping to keep that focus that I think is so important. And I think what you did with your office associate is absolutely awesome, because what it's doing, done in the right way, it is you reinforcing yourself more than anything else.
You know, as I do research, and I'm a huge reader. If I could encourage listeners to do anything, it's to go by and get a library card. I mean, if they can't afford to buy the 7-Minute Difference, ask your library to bring it in on interlibrary loan. But a library card is completely free, and you can go in there and you can change your whole life by opening the door to knowledge. It's just amazing. So I would encourage people to really become readers again. That's one of the 7-minute differences. It'll take less than 7 minutes to get a library card, but, boy, it can change your life forever. And if you're not a reader, you can begin to listen to these things on CD or as I do, I download books onto my iPod, and my iPod will hold 300 books. And so, you know, there's amazing things that you can do that can change your life forever. And people say, well, I don't have time to read. Well, you have time to drive to the grocery store. Why not listen to a book on tape while you're driving to the grocery store? So there's so many little ideas. And at our website, we have, if you go to the resources page at the 7-Minute Difference, we have two PDFs there. One is called 100 Micro Actions, 100 minute, 7-Minute Ideas for Your Home, and 100 7-Minute Ideas for Work. So we literally have 200 things that you can accomplish in 7 minutes or less to make your life more effective.
You have two words in your book that I think not only are visual, but they also are inspirational. Olympic moments. I really like that. Tell us what brought those two words together and what the significance of those two words are for you.
Well, may I share the story with you?
Sure.
I love to watch the Olympics because I just am amazed that these people have spent, you know, 4 years or 6 years or maybe all their life training for the Olympics, and they're just such amazing athletes. And my favorite race is the 10,000-meter race, and we get to the finals, and these men or women get down in blocks, and millions of people are watching them, and the gun goes off, and they begin to run full blast for 6.2 miles. And I cannot imagine the pain that they must be enduring. And yet, this is what's great about life. When you're in the right race, you don't feel any pain. You're so in the zone, you're doing what your purpose is, you're using your gifts and talents, that you don't feel the pain of life. Nor do I think that these athletes feel that pain. In fact, it's called sensory deprivation. Some of your listeners may be feeling it now. They don't feel the waistband around their waist until I mention their waistband. Your listeners don't even feel the shoes on their feet until I say, feel the shoes on your feet. What I call people back to in the book is just to get back in the race that they know they're supposed to be running. And then here's the key part of all that is I looked at my own life and I thought, wow, Allison, how many times in the last 14 years have I felt swept away where I was so in the moment that I was willing to endure the pain? And Donna, I could only think of three moments. One was when I walked down the aisle 14 years ago and I grabbed my husband's hand and I said, I do. And then 2 years later, or 3 years later, I'm sorry, when my daughter was born and I held her in my arms, those are just great Olympic moments of joy. And 17 and a half months later, when my son was born, he only weighed 5.5 pounds. And, you know, you remember those kind of things. And that's when it hit me. I'd only had three Olympic moments of joy in 14 years. Now, here's the key part about all this. Shame on me. Life is way too short to only have three moments of joy that will sweep you away in 14 years. And that's when it occurred to me I was looking at it the wrong way. I was looking for the world to bring me joy. Here's the key, Donna. I can have Olympic moments every day of my life when I take my eyes off myself and I start giving Olympic moments to the people around me. And literally, when we give Olympic moments away, we can have them day after day after day. And I know we're probably running short on time, but may I just share one Olympic moment that has touched my life?
Go right ahead.
My father is 78 years old. My mother is 72. About 5 years ago, my father created an Olympic moment for my mother. They were leaving for church on Christmas Eve, and he said, just a second, honey. And he ran back in the house. He said, I've forgotten something. He ran back in the house. He pulled a dozen red roses out that he had hidden, and he put them by her bed. And he had written her a love letter. Now, he's in his 70s. He had written her a love letter, and he laid it on her pillow, and they left for church. And when they came back in on Christmas Eve, my mother found a dozen red roses and a love letter telling her why he would marry her all over again.
Oh.
And that was an Olympic moment that my mother will never forget. She has told me that I'm not ever allowed to read the letter, but she wants to be buried with it. Now, anyone can do that. Anyone listening to this program can write a letter to their mother, to their child, to their spouse today, leave it on their pillow, and make an Olympic moment that will last a lifetime.
Oh, that brings tears to my eyes. That is absolutely...
That's a 7-minute difference. Those are the kind of things that make life rich again.
That is absolutely true. Well, Allison Lewis, you have a powerful book. You obviously have a passion for living. And you want to have other people enjoy that same kind of passion for life and for doing what is most meaningful to them. And you know what? It's so important for us to realize that we're individuals. They don't have to copy you. They don't have to copy me. They just have to be aware for themselves. Whoever you are, wherever you are listening, understand that this is a gift that's being given to you. 7 minute difference, small steps to big changes. Allison Lewis is my guest today. And you can go to her website, The 7 Minute Difference, and spell out the word seven, the7minutedifference.com. And she's got all kinds of wonderful things for you to review there. Allison, I know we've got about a minute before we're going to be closing out our interview here today. If you could leave a thought with my listeners, what would that be?
It's called New Leaves. Again, it's from Chapter 7. 3 years ago when I was writing this book, I was looking at my life. My purpose is about growing, helping other people grow and be different and enjoy life and believe that change happens in an instant. And I wanted to have a little logo made, and I created an autumn leaf, an orange leaf. And I took it to my team, and they said, Allison, that leaf isn't growing. That leaf is dying. It's an autumn leaf. It's about to fall off the tree.
Oh.
I looked at her, and I said, Susan, that's exactly right. In my life, there were so many things that I needed to let go of first before new growth could come in. So your listeners out there, we're all in the same boat. What's in your life right now that's holding you back? Is there anger, hurt, disappointment? It's time to let go of those things, just like the autumn trees let go of those leaves so that new green leaves can come in. So the book cover is orange. When you see it, if you go to Amazon.com, it's all about renewal and hope. And I believe that if people will read The 7 Minute Difference, it will touch their lives, because it certainly has touched mine.
Allison Lewis has been my guest. Allison, it's been a delight. And, hey, if you do want a co-author, I'll be there for you.
All right. Well, I look forward to it. And, Donna, thank you for sharing your company.
Oh, it's been a delight. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be coming right back, and phone lines will be open. Thank you, Allison. We'll be talking
sometime again.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and we'll be coming back in just a moment. Don't you go away now. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I'm broadcasting live from Fairbanks, Alaska. And tomorrow, I will be on the plane, so we're going to be playing the best of Donna. But by golly, on Thursday, we'll be back live. That time, I'll be on Thursday in Anchorage, Alaska, and we're going to be talking with Andy Raub. We're going to be talking about peace of mind as an investor, and he's got some wonderful tips. So for those of you that really fancy knowing more about money, and who's not interested in that, I think you're going to enjoy Andy. Then we're also going to be talking with Paul Lever and LeverQ, and his particular publication is Dreamcraft. And I'm not going to say too much about it because it's a little bit different than what you might expect. Regardless, we've got that. The following week, we're going to be talking with Mystic Alice, and she is a lady. She is in her 70s. She is quite talented with psychic ability, so we're going to hear her fabulous story. And then Nikki Kehohau, and we're going to be talking with her. Nikki is an interesting lady because she, along with some other corporate women, have put together a book called More Build It Big. Isn't that a unique title? More Build It Big. So we're going to be talking about business. Then we're also going to be talking about the ghosts of Savannah. Aha, Savannah, Georgia. And we're going to be going to Savannah, and we're going to find out about some of the famous taverns and pubs and all kinds of places that have these visitors, or maybe I should say residents, ghostly residents. And then, finally, on the 29th, we're going to be talking with Jared Rosen. We're going to be talking how you can flip, yes, flip, turn your world around. And we're going to just have such a wonderful lineup of people. When I was saying to Allison what I felt our programming was all about, I really meant it. It is so important to be able to realize the world is not one molecule of something. It is gazillions of molecules of something. And you have all of these wonderful experiences that you can reach for, that you can look to. And I really loved her recommendation about reading, because it opens up the world for you. And so many people I have found in working publicly, they say, well, I'm not that good a reader. I'm a slow reader. I'm this, that, or the other. Or I don't have the time. Her suggestions about audiobooks, using the library, I'm a strong advocate of the library. Reading opens your mind. You can go and just walk down a row in a library and just pick a book out at random on any kind of subject. You don't have to be a physics major. You don't have to have an education that you've spent 45 years of your life in. Anytime you open up your mind to learning something new or having exposure to someone else's thinking, it can make you aware of options and choices. The saddest thing I feel that can happen in anyone's life is when you box yourself in so much with beliefs and attitudes that you won't even give yourself the opportunity to see what else is there. Curiosity is a wonderful attribute. And so many times I will see people, especially if they're around children, not wanting children to be curious. You shouldn't do that. Don't get into that. It's none of your business. Don't do this, that, or the other. You know, we carry that forward in our adult life. We'll say, this is none of my business. Oh, I shouldn't get into this. It's just not my place. We have all of these statements that continue to run out of our mouths through our minds. Every time you read something, you don't have to agree with it. But when you can look at different perspectives, it enriches your life. If we only have one way to look at something, we'll never have options. We're never going to be able to solve problems because we'll be in a dead end. And when you're in a dead end, what are you going to be able to do? Can't go up, down, sideways. You'll think you can't go anywhere. And too often, that's how we can feel about our life. Well, if you're feeling that you're at a dead end, open up your mind and your attitudes and start reaching out. Talk to somebody. Get a book. Watch something different on television. There's so many wonderful programs on TV that are educational, informative. Join a book club. Do something that's going to expand your world. Take a class. Try something different. The worst case scenario is you say, I can't stand this. Wonderful. But at least you know what you don't like. But if you don't explore, if you don't experience, if you don't step out of your box, whatever your box may be, if you don't do that, you're never going to know the joy of discovery. You'll discover new friends. You'll discover new environments. There's so many things that you can do to make your life richer. You have to feed the mind just as much as you feed the body. It is very, very important. Because if you don't, I don't care how well you'll feed your body, you'll feel like you're nowhere. So it all goes together, mind, body, spirit, emotions. That is a team. So when you nourish it, when you take care of it, when you have due diligence, oh my goodness, you're going to shine so brightly, people are going to say, please, will you beam on me? Because I need some of that. Too many people turn their lights out inside them. I want you to turn yours on. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are open, and let me give you those telephone numbers. They're toll-free. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, here is the telephone number for those of you in the U.S., 877-876-5227. Or in Canada, call us at 888-810-8322. And then also we have a direct line of 530-876-9146. I was watching a program on geniuses a couple of nights ago, and there was a young man who is considered a genius. He was an award-winning author by the time he was 12. He's exceptionally gifted. And this young man lives out on an area of Wyoming with his family. And I was so impressed with something that he said. He said that one of the greatest gifts he had been given by his parents when he was growing up was the opportunity to have absolutely nothing to do. And he said, I would have to go out and I would have to entertain myself. My mother and father said, you've got time, we're busy, go find something to do. You're intelligent enough to do that. And he said, what I found is that I fed my imagination. I was able to come up with these wonderful stories that eventually made me into a best-selling author. But he said, I didn't write them for anybody else. I really wrote them for me because I had this wonderful world in my mind that I wanted to be able to express through the written world and word. And he did that. And he did a fabulous, fabulous job. I think sometimes we need to give ourselves that. As adults, many times we are so busy. We have family. We have business. We have home responsibilities. And we're just buzz, 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 buzzing. You know, it's okay to have downtime. It's okay not to have to do anything. It is okay to just be quiet so that you can maybe look at the clouds in the sky and play the game of what is that cloud? And just figure out that let your mind go into directions that you otherwise don't give it permission to do so because you've got so many responsibilities on your shoulder. So maybe turn off the television for an hour a day or whatever it is in your schedule or in your program. Like she said, maybe listen to some audiobooks. But maybe you want that downtime of quiet where you can just turn off and turn on and tune in to yourself. The exercises that Allison mentioned about finding your purpose, you need quiet time for that. You need to be able to not be interrupted or have other people telling you what they think you should be doing. And I think that's one of the biggest failings. We look to other people to tell us what we should be doing without enjoying the journey of exploration that should be ours. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I want to, before we go to our break, share some concepts about feeling better about your life, feeling better about who you are. And I got a chuckle because there was someone that made a suggestion about picturing the worst. You wouldn't expect that to be a positive thing to do, right? Well, when something is, you know, maybe you're sort of having a blah day, you can go into a mindset of, gee, what could be worse? Then you can think about a lot of things that you're so glad you're not experiencing about. Sort of reverse of what we would do. But there are some words that someone shared with me many years ago that I really like. And these are the words, this too will pass. This too will pass. Four powerful words. If you're going through a period and you just think that it's just the worst that you've ever experienced in your life, just say, well, maybe somebody else has it worse in the world. What else could be, you know, not so positive? There's a lot of things you need to be grateful for. So when you're doing that, remember the good things. And when you remember the good things, if you're looking where you are, you say, well, I've got a lot of blessings to count. I really do. And that shifts. You shift out of what could be otherwise seemingly a very negative space and feeling better. Also, remember, you've got to eat right. That's right. You need to have good nutrition. Speaking of good nutrition, I invite you to go visit my website and tap on the glyconutrients button. Boy, it's so important to find out about these things, and there's some good information there about glyconutrients. I'd like you to go and investigate. And then also make a date with the future. Look at something you can plan for. Expect good things and believe in the power that you can make them happen. Also, stop, look, and listen at what's going on around you. And I mean that. Stop, look, and listen. What do you smell? What do you hear? What are you aware of? You have a sensory system for the purpose of being aware of it. Remember Al Pacino in the movie The Scent of a Woman? If you haven't seen it for a while, you might want to rent that and watch it again. He was so aware in that characterization of everything that went on around him because he was blind. And then also be grateful. Be grateful for where you are, for what you have. There's always opportunity. And trust yourself. Really trust yourself. And share your good things in life with other people. You may not think that they're interested in hearing it, but you don't know when you're going to be an inspiration to others. I had such a special experience with a woman by the name of Susan when I was flying up to Alaska. And when we come back, I'll share a little bit of that with you. You never know how you are going to affect someone's life. And you never know how someone is going to affect yours. Allison had someone affect hers with just three words. I have cancer. Made her turn on her ear mentally and changed her life. We don't have to hear those three words necessarily. But maybe there are going to be some others that will be given to you as a gift. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to be taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Well, don't you go away now. I got more new things to share. Hi, this is Donna. I wanted to let you know that If you need some information about how to get in touch with me, just go to my website, DelphiInternational.com. And even though I'm on the road, I'm finding I'm going to be able to get some information from those of you that send emails. If you have a special recipe, something that's just a wonderful story to share, send it along, won't you? Because I'd love to hear from you. Go to Donna@DelphiInternational.com, Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and then I'll be able to get your email, and we always review whatever is sent to us, and you will hear from me. Also, you can give me a call at my office if you want, which is 800-872-8852 if you need any information about where I'm going to be in Alaska. Also, in New York. I'm going to be in New York next week. So we've just got a lot going on, and I would be delighted if any of you want to set up private sessions with me or to meet with me in any of the communities that I'm going to be in. Just let me know. Give me a call. That's even quicker than email, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Immortality. This is something that people really, really would love to attain. I don't know that that's something that I necessarily would want to have in the way of maintaining, as a friend of mine once said, keeping the old chassis. She said when it came her time to go from this world, she wanted to get a new chassis. And I know that that's something that she's definitely experiencing because she passed over a few years ago. But she always had such a good sense of humor. And she said, this one was sort of deficient in certain areas, and I'm going to make sure my next order is much more efficient and effective. Well, so much controversy is going on about stem cells, and I wanted to share some information that J.R. Menkel is passing along. He's talking about a Tokyo University geneticist, Shinya Yamanaka, and he has been working very, very diligently on trying to find out how we can take any normal adult cell and turn it into a stem cell. And this is capable for, he considers, living forever and also enabling us to take that cell and morphing it into any type of organ or tissue that might need replacement in a sick or aging body. Now, I know that sounds a little sci-fi, but remember what I said earlier? Curiosity. How come? Why? Can I? I wonder. All of this just goes right along with this. Now, he said one of the biggest hurdles in stem cell research has been getting them. So far, to the best of scientists' awareness, their only options are harvesting new stem cells from human embryos or cloning those already that are harvested. But however, both of those procedures are just a nightmare. There's ethical questions there. There's all kinds of regulatory red tape. So he thought, Mr. Yamanaka, that he had figured out another way. Now, what he's doing is working with mice. And when adult cells are forced to fuse with stem cells, occasionally one of the adult cells reprograms itself, regressing back to an undifferentiated state. So what he did, he was studying the chemical signals released by these cells as they're undergoing the transformation. And Mr. Yamanaka has managed to concoct a cocktail of four chemicals that can provoke the same conversion. A cocktail. A chemical cocktail. Now, he said the technique is not perfect. It works in only a small percentage of the attempts that he's done with, and he hasn't yet been able to show that it can be effective in human cells. He said, however, this is solid, very convincing, and exciting work, and there's a Princeton University geneticist, Ihor Lemenchenko, who said, as far as he's concerned, it's very important. It's a very big first step. They feel that Yamanaka's technique may enable doctors to grow stem cells from adult cells of patients that are needing treatment. And they are seeing in their minds that transplanting of ready-made embryonic stem cells back into people, providing cures for a major array of diseases, from diabetes to paralysis to Alzheimer's. And then no embryos or ethics committees are needed because they'll use your own cells. It's good to ask questions. Whenever there's a problem, a challenge, we need people that can ask the question. If this isn't working, what else can we do? And maybe you can be one of those people. All right. All of us are looking at the gas prices going up. Do you know There are other things more expensive than gas, and you can cut your costs in many ways. As far as I can remember, every household I've ever known of, every woman I've ever known of, has always been concerned about managing money for her environment. How can I make my money work better? Well, there are so many ways that you can do this, and coupons can be a marvelous way. Now, I'm only going to have a couple of things I'm going to be able to share with you because our time is almost out. But you can buy a clip a coupon from a circular, buy the item on sale, and use a coupon from the supermarket's flyer to boot, so you can combine offers. Also, clip coupons you don't use. Sometimes you can trade or barter for the ones you do need with other people who are into doing the coupon thing. And there's a website you can go to, thriftyfun.com. Yeah, that's a website. And people are happy to barter and trade on coupons. thriftyfun.com. Also, there is a coupon mom. Yes, a woman has taken on that title. And, oh my goodness, we have a caller. Hello, caller?
Hi, Donna.
Hi, first name or initial, where are you calling from?
Steve from California.
All right, now, Steve, where are you in California?
Northern California, Sacramento area.
All right, now, Steve, I have to tell you, we are almost out of time.
I know.
And I'm so sorry that I'm not able to talk to you, but I will say one thing. I will say one thing. You must be patient and work through on the plan that you have. Must be patient and work through on the plan that you have. Now, I have a few seconds. Steve, if you can, call back on Thursday or Friday. We're going to be playing a Best of Donna tomorrow because I'm going to be on a plane flight to Anchorage. So if you will do that, I'll be happy to talk to you then.
All right. Thanks, Donna.
You're very welcome, Steve. We are out of time. My goodness, I'm so sorry that I wasn't able to finish with Steve. But remember, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. I'll be back with you live on Thursday and Friday. Talk to you then. Bye for now.